Turn to Isaiah, the 6th chapter. Isaiah is the first of the major prophets. Isaiah 6, first 8 verses. Are you there? Isaiah 6, 1 through 8. The title of this message is, Who Will Go? In the year the king Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a high throne, high and exalted, and in his train of his robe filled the temple. And above him were seraphim, each with 6 wings, with 2 that covered their faces, 2 that covered their feet, and with 2 they were flying about. And they were calling to one another, saying, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. And at the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Woe to me, I cried. I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And I said, Here am I. Send me. All the preaching that has been done up to this time has been centered around the church and the church's faith, dealing with sin, preparing the church to go out. The church has been commissioned by God Almighty to be a voice in the land. And today, this message is geared for all of us to take our faith and put feet on it for the first time. And Isaiah gives us a glimpse of just how important it is of who we're really representing. We're not just representing God. We're representing the Lord God Almighty. There is none other. None other. And Isaiah is undone by this vision that he is caught up in. And I have said from time to time that the church needs a healthy revelation of who God is. Because without this revelation, we really take our faith and we take our Father for granted. And it's illustrated by the way we live, by the way we conduct our business each and every day. Because how we view God is how we live. And Isaiah stated very clearly, Woe to me. We in America have been blessed beyond measure. We have opportunity. We have freedom. We have what the rest of the world does not have. And yet, in today's standards, America wants to be like the world, not what God wants her to be. And contained within America is the church. I call the American church, made up of different tribes and tongues and kindreds and stuff. But the end time move of God's Spirit is going to be through the church of Jesus Christ, not through Ken or Irene or Mia. They're all going to be part of this end time move. And the question I have is, have you looked up to see God? Have you really looked to see God? Today in worship, I saw God's feet. I saw the turquoise road that His feet walk upon. I saw this because I know in whom I believe, and He is awesome. He is all powerful. And I live my life knowing that, and I still have so much more that He wants of my life. And when Isaiah saw God, he saw this event happening. He saw the seraphs. And this is the only place in Scripture that seraphs are mentioned. And in the Hebrew, that's translated burning ones. Seraphs are angels or angelic beings that are burning or glowing and radiating the holiness of God. And yet, Isaiah said they had six wings, two covering their face, two covering their feet, and with two flying around, crying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty." And I asked the Lord, I said, why did these angels who can look at you cover their face? He says, even though they are my burning ones, my holiness and brilliance of my glory will blind them. Think about that. Here's the angels who can see God, and God can blind them. And we who have been created a little lower than the angels now hold a position above the angels, and God is calling us to behold Him. And Isaiah finally realized that in and of himself, there is nothing that's good for him. And what happens is that we don't revere God the way we need to. We have this lowercase love for God that needs to change. And because Isaiah sees this, he realizes how awesome this event is. He is literally shaken within him, his own very being, recognizing how wicked and evil he really is. The covering of the eyes and the covering of the angel's feet is prophetically symbolic to our understanding of knowing that it is humility and humbleness. And God exhorts us to walk in humility and humbleness before Him. And yet, these angels who are holy by God's decree cover themselves in humility and humbleness. And I think sometimes we take God for granted. We come here and we assemble ourselves in such a way that we really fail to understand that whether it's here or in the new building that we're going to have, that those attitudes that we bring here now, we're going to take them there, and they need to change. They need to change because God is awesome. and God is worthy. And how we conduct our lives and how we conduct our business is a reflection of our Father. Whether you understand this or not, that is the truth. We are His agents upon the earth, representing His kingdom and His very person. And when we come and gather together, we forget just how awesome God is. And here's Isaiah. He's standing before these angels, and it doesn't mention how many angels are there, but when the angels speak, it literally rattles the thresholds, the doorposts, smoke is flying, lightning is going on. It is literally a terrifying, spectacular event for Isaiah. But God has chosen us, and He has called to us, and we have responded to His voice, but we still act and behave contrary to His will in such a way that really doesn't give Him the glory that He so deserves. Now, some of us may feel a little uncomfortable with that, but that's really the truth. I mean, Isaiah was uncomfortable. He was out of his comfort zone, and he was brought into the very presence of the living God. And he was undone. When was the last time you were undone being in the presence of God? When was the last time you came to thank Him for everything He's done instead of, here's my list, fill it out, God? You see, the Bible is replete that when we respond, we're part of His team. And part of His team, the church, we have a responsibility. And part of that responsibility is to do what God has said to do. And part of doing what He says to do is we need to come out of the world and stop being like the world and start being like the kingdom of heaven. And today is the beginning of where we're going to take and put faith on our feet, and we're going to start walking this thing. We're going to be what God has called us to be. We're going to be ridiculed. We're going to be made fun of. We're going to be persecuted. We're going to receive all that. But that should not deter us from getting the true message of the gospel out. Well, Pastor, you know, I didn't go to Bible school. Neither did I. And you guys have been with me where I've been in restaurants trying to witness to people, and you've seen me do things that are kind of crazy. All for the point of just having an opportunity to share the good news of the kingdom. Jesus Christ laid down His life to atone for our sin. Jesus Christ died on a cross to take away our guilt and our shame. And yet, we don't go and talk to people. And I know God has spoken to you guys to go and speak to people. And the first thing is that you, Lord? You know, I don't have the words to speak, as Jen was saying, you know, praying. But she's courageous. She wasn't going to let fear trump her, because she has a spirit that is an overcoming spirit. She has a warrior spirit. And we all have fear within us, but how we allow our spirits to either manipulate or be controlled by it or conquer it is a very thin line in which we all walk. And when God called and he was thinking out loud, he says, who can I send? Who will go for us? Who will represent me? Isaiah responded and said, I'll go. And you read 66 chapters of the prophetic word that Isaiah went and talked to a stiff-necked, rebellious people and did some awesome things, laying on one side for a year naked and then flipped over for another year laying naked to describe how barren Israel had become. I'm not saying that God's going to ask that of us, but I do want to bring what happened to Isaiah to us today and how it's important to us. We know that God is love. And he has only one kind of love. And his love is unconditional. Yet we set conditions on how we're going to love God. Our response to God is, God, if you do this and you become this jack-in-a-box or this magical genie and you take care of my needs, we're going to love you. And God does that for a while to show you that he is real. But his love is not motivated by what he can provide or what we can do for him or not do for him. He loves us while we are in our sin. He loves us while we're walking in righteousness and in holiness. He loves us. There's no conditions he places on that. And his love that he has for us, and we have responded to his love because he has called us by name, whether we've understood this, is we've said yes, Lord, to whatever he's called into our lives. And Jesus said there's no greater love than a man lay down his life for his friends. You see, we look at the world like it's our enemy, but there are people out there that Jesus died for, that it is our responsibility to go and tell them the good news of the kingdom. Not just Jesus. Tell them about the kingdom. And it is our job to win them to become family members. That's our job. That's what Streams is here for. We're not here just because we believed in Jesus. And we have a job to do, a mandate from heaven. And we need to begin to start loving God, because if we don't love God unconditionally, we won't love people unconditionally. And that is just the truth. This brings us to the second thing, that there are three types of missions contained within the Great Commission. There's local missions, in which the local church works to influence the people in that locale unto God's righteousness and holiness and win them. There is international missions in which we go to foreign lands and we share the good news of Jesus Christ. No different than what the local church does, but working as a team with other members from other churches to win the lost so that they can be won to Jesus Christ and become members of his family and of his kingdom. And that's the reason why the rudiments or the foundations of our faith is taught, so that we can get our lives right and everything is done in order, so that whether he calls us to short-term missions or he calls us to work in the local church, we're ready. You know, an army doesn't prepare itself and never goes to war. An army prepares itself and responds in time of war, of which all this training we've had for the last 8 years is now met now at the threshold of what we're going to do with our faith. Are we going to put up or are we going to stay shut up? Shut up, by that I mean stay within our four walls and not let the world know about the love. You see, the time is coming when we're going to have to give an account. Whether we serve the local church or whether we go into the international mission fields, it's how we respond to the love of God and what God says to do. The third thing is generational missions. Every generation has the responsibility to win its generation to become part of the family of God. And God is only asking us one thing. How will you respond to His call? Who will go? The next step is, after we've responded to God, is diligence. In the leadership, I call it due diligence. We do what is right so we can see what's going on, and we eliminate things so we can proceed to move forward. God highly prizes people who do their diligence. And by that, yeah, it's good that you read the Word. Yeah, it's good that you serve the church. Yeah, it's good that you come and, you know, you give your offerings to the Lord and all that. But God prizes the virtues of our diligence. And when we're slothful, and when we don't do the things that God has called us to do, and we make excuses for ourselves, our behaviors, our lack, what we don't have, what happened in our past, God's not really impressed with that. He knows all that. He knows it. And He's overcome that for you. Some of us are just plain old afraid. We are so fear-ridden in our hearts that we're afraid to respond to what God is calling us to do. And that's okay. It is. Don't you think Isaiah was afraid in seeing this vision? I mean, I was afraid when God called to me and I responded. But I wasn't going to let fear stop me from becoming that which God has called me to be. Let me read you a thing from George Eliot. He said, "It's never too late to become what you might have been. It's never too late to become what you might have been." In other words, let's get started. Let's stop making excuses. Let's begin to start becoming that which God has called us to become, because there's not going to be another you. There's not going to be another me. And the work we don't finish that God has given to us will be passed on to someone else. And when we stand before God, we give an account as to why or why not we didn't do things. And Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming to judge the nations. But He's also going to judge His people. He's going to judge the nations because of their rebellion against Him, against this is His world. And they chose not to believe our message. They chose not to receive the truth. And you see, He's going to judge us for rewards, not for what we did or didn't do. He's going to judge us on how we did it with the right attitudes. And if our attitude is not excellence, anything below that is inferior to what God expects. Anything and everything is inferior. He deserves our very best because He is King. He is Lord. And He is master of all of us. You see, God is more interested in you reaching your fullness of potential than He is about your comfort zone. He's about His message than our excuses. He doesn't want anybody to die and go to hell. Why aren't we witnessing to people and sharing with them? Finally, how do we reach our fullness? Well, Habakkuk says, write the vision down. And I'd say to you, what is the one thing that God has said to you that you need to be doing? Now, there's some conditions on this thing. And it's only one thing He asked of Isaiah, and there's only one thing He's asking of the church. And the one thing He's asking each and every one of us, and that should be different for each and every one of us, but there's one thing that He said to you that's in your heart. Now the condition is, first of all, it can't be self-centered or worldly. Can't contain I, me, or my. Okay? Second, everything that God gives to us brings Him glory. So what's the one thing that He said to you that's to bring Him glory? Because that's what we were created for. His praise and His glory. Third, write it down. Like Habakkuk said. Write down the vision. And the time when it's supposed to be read, he who will read it will run with it. And fourth, go for it. That's what diligence is all about. You see, I chase after God. I have what I have because I paid the price. I sacrificed. I didn't make excuses. I wasn't lazy. I didn't do the things that was required of the man of God. I became those things. And so can you. And that's what God is interested in. You becoming all that He's created you to become. And when more of us become that, the reality of Jesus Christ in the church will be that reality. God asked one thing of Israel. Go and take the land that I'm giving to you. And He's saying the same thing to streams. And yet some of us feel that, you know, we don't have... Pastor's giving me an option. I don't have to submit a list. I don't have to do this. You know, you fail to understand that my asking is really a command. This is not an option, people. You're either with the program and solving the problems that we have that we're facing together, or you're part of the problem. I choose the first. I believe you're part of the answer. I believe that you fully don't really understand what's at stake here. And whose name is at stake here. Whose reputation's at stake here. It's not mine. And it's not yours. It's His. And He has said to us that He's going to give us this land so that we can conduct business, warfare, win the lost, and the church grow. And our goal is 10%. Our goal is not a whole lot compared to the realities of people going to hell because we keep our lips closed. And the goal is set before us because God's said that He's going to do this thing. You see, the more we become that which what God has called us to be, and the more we chase after that, and the more we keep throwing the excuses away and slinging off our slothfulness and laziness and becoming worldly, the more God's power is able to resonate within us to go through us. You see, God is raising up an end time church, an apostolic church worldwide. One that's filled with His presence, one that's filled with His power, one that's filled with His glory, and one that does His will. This is what it's all about, church. It's not playing church. It's more than just being the church. It's doing the work of the ministry. I have only one life, and I want my life to count for something. I don't want my life to have a bunch of, well, would'os, could'os, and should'os. I want my life to count for something because it has eternal consequences. It has an eternal effect. It has eternal workings in which goes into the future. I want to glorify my Father who is in heaven. I want His great name known throughout the land. I want to see His name lifted up and His people stand up no matter what the cost. Whether it be ridicule or we're thrown into a fire of persecution like Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, or we're tossed into the mouth of a whale and taken to a heathen nation to tell them the good news of Jesus Christ. You see, all these are examples of how the church is supposed to be. And we think that they're just silly stories. No. The Bible says that these are examples for us to know, to learn, to become, for our benefits. And when we sit and we make excuses, we do shoddy work, we do things half-heartedly, we make every attempt not to do what God has called us to do, and we run from that high calling. Paul calls it the high calling in Jesus Christ. We bring disgrace to Him because He sees such wonderful people that He's died for, that He has such joy in, that loves unconditionally and wants to embrace with power, to clothe them in holiness and righteousness. Not His, not our righteousness, not our stuff, but His. That's the story of the prodigal. He wants to dress us up. But we have a tough time thinking that we're kings meant to reign. We have a tough time in thinking about dominion. When I talk about dominion, we have a real difficult time. God would want me to have dominion over demons? Yeah, that's why He died. He gave it to you. He wants me to lay hands on the sick and watch them recover? Oh, absolutely. You're part of His body. If you're not chasing after Him, the devil continues to do the things. And we need to be discerning as to what God's doing. So my question to you is, are you ready to go? Because we're going. Those who weren't ready to go died in the desert. They died in the desert. 40 years. When it should have only taken 6 days. And they died. I told you. There's only one thing that moves God, and that's our faith. And we're moving ahead. I'm believing God. I'm believing that you'll respond and write that one thing down. Hand that list in. Because they're going out. Those lists are going out. And the people are going to be notified. I hope that we're all on the same page. I hope we're all seeing how important this is. I hope we catch a vision of who God is. Because what's at stake is the souls of men and women, not our comfort. Amen? Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you, God, that you are ever so strong, Lord. And there is nothing you can't do, God. Receive our repentance, God. The excuses and the areas that we've been weak and fearful, God. Give unto us a revelation like you did to Isaiah, God. And speak to our heart that one thing that you want us to chase after with you. God, we throw away the sins that so easily beset us, that we may press on to that high calling. God, you apprehended us for good things, mighty things, powerful things. Help us to comprehend the depth of this commitment on your end to us, God. And help us to fulfill the destiny that you have given to us individually and collectively as streams in these last days, God. For our heart is to bring you glory and to praise you for everything that you are, God. And so much more. I thank you. In Jesus' name, God, I thank you. Amen. Amen.